We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another wonderful edition of the PHNX D-Back Show. And when I say wonderful, I mean the ones that we get to hear that song. Of course, my name is Derek Monty, occasionally known as your mayor of PHNX. He's always known as my vice mayor, also your thunderstick, Jesse Friedman. Big win for the Arizona Diamondbacks. I mean, I don't want to get too excited about the Diamondbacks winning a series against the Rockies, but with the way things look there for a minute, This is a big win for this team. At least they get the monkey off their back of that five-game losing streak, and they get things headed in the right direction before St. Louis comes into town with a big series win against the Rockies. I don't know what I was more impressed by when it came to this game is the fact that the bullpen once again kind of did their thing. Especially Bryce Jarvis, who was incredible both on the mound and especially fielding. And you know that highlight reel, real play that he made. But I mean, this they continue to confound me with their inability to score runs late and right when you think that they can't. They do. And it's with the guy that's really been struggling, Gino, who, despite some early success, really has been pretty bad both at the plate and in the field himself recently, especially in the series.
Yeah, I never want to put too much on like the 13th game of the season. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, today wasn't that important of a baseball game.
Oh my God.
But still, I mean, there's something to be said for how much different 6-7 feels than 5-8.
It's
like if the Diamondbacks were 5-8 and they had just lost a series to the Rockies after getting swept by the Braves. I mean, it's a pretty dark time for the Diamondbacks right now, I think. But right. Just with, you know, that comeback that they were able to make at the end of this game, something that has been done to them a lot in recent days, to actually be able to do that against an opposing team, it was huge. And I know it wasn't pretty necessarily for Kevin Ginkle there in the ninth, but he got the job done. And I mean, that's kind of the theme of this whole series for me. Like, none of this was really pretty for the Diamondbacks. They still made way too many defensive mistakes, which we're going to get to later in the show. But at the end of the day, you had to go in and at least take 2 out of 3 from the Rockies, and the Diamondbacks checked that box.
There's a lot of people here saying stressful. Stressful would be a great way to describe this particular game.
That is fair.
It was stressful in a lot of different ways. It was stressful right out of the gate. Tommy Henry bent. And when I say bent, he bent quite a bit right away.
He threw 32 pitches in the first inning. It was a rough go for Tommy Henry out of the gate. The command was really all over the place. And then credit to him. I mean, he managed to settle in. I mean, this is back-to-back starts for him where it's been 2 earned runs over 5 innings, which, I mean, it's not necessarily spectacular, but if you're, you know, if you're number 5 starter or I guess Ryan Nelson and Tommy Henry are, I guess Tommy Henry sort of in the five spot right
They're
now.
Just...
If he can give you that until you have Jordan Montgomery and E-Rod rejoin this rotation, I mean, that's good, right? Like that'll give you a chance to win games, and the Diamondbacks were able to win this game in large part because of that.
Mark is right. That was the first comeback win of the season. It was the first time I think the Diamondbacks were able to generate some key runs late that allowed them to come back from losing the lead. But Tommy Henry, again, he bent so much. He has that little white line that plastic has on it when you bend it in half. But he did not break. Five innings pitched, four hits, three runs allowed, two of them earned, three walks, six strikeouts, 95 pitches thrown. I think the thing here with even the wins, if you want to be, I guess, a naysayer about it, if you want to look on the bad side to them winning this series in these two games, is this was against the Rockies, and both of these games are games that they barely won. I mean, they did do a good job of holding the opposition, limited on hits and runs in both of these games, but still, it's the Rockies. That first inning for Tommy Henry against a team with a more potent offense would have gone very, very sideways on him, instead of him just allowing, the one run there early. And to his credit, he did a great job of getting out of it. More so to the credit of Bryce Jarvis, who stepped in once Tommy Henry left. And Bryce Jarvis was just huge for Torey Lovullo and this team as a reliever today. Not only did he make that play that I was describing earlier, but he just ate up a lot of innings right now for a bullpen that Torey right now can't really trust a lot of pieces of. And the pieces that he does trust, he's going to utilize a lot, which is going to cause them to get overworked early.
Yeah, it's hard to overstate how big Bryce Jarvis was in this game for the Diamondbacks. I mean, Tommy Henry, I mentioned he went five innings, but there's a long way to go from the fifth to the ninth, right?
Yeah.
I mean, basically half of the game. And those innings have been rough in recent days for the Diamondbacks. Scott McGuff, Miguel Castro, Luis Frias. There's been a lot of unsteady, shall we say, performance from those middle relief guys so far. And Torey just went to Bryce Jarvis and was like, hey, our starter still gave us five innings. Maybe it's not the most normal thing to call on your long reliever to pitch several innings in a close game like this. But I think Jarvis was pitching well, and Torey just kind of stuck with him, and credit to Bryce for doing what he was able to do, not just on the mound, but as you said, that was one of the best defensive plays by a pitcher that I've ever seen.
And Christian Walker, too. We don't talk about Christian Walker
Walker's side of this is just a given, right? That's not even notable at this point. Christian Walker always does that. Bryce Jarvis,
true.
he had to dart off the mound. He covered a pretty good amount of ground all the way, got pretty close to the third baseline when he made this throw, and he went like all Derek Jeter on him. Derek, like, this was a jump throw,
dude. It was
from
amazing.
Bryce Jarvis, and
the accuracy
did,
was incredible.
Yeah,
the arm strength was incredible. Honestly, Jarvis, can we get him in the depth chart at shortstop? That was amazing. I mean, like I said, Christian Walker did have to make an incredible stretch in order to complete that play. But like you said, we're used to seeing Christian Walker do that. This was just an amazing throw from Bryce Jarvis that, again, was a big reason why the Diamondbacks were able to keep the Rockies off the board further and maintain the lead that they – or not really the lead at that time. They were down, I still believe, 3-2. But again, they were able to generate some runs late. Of course, they did generate runs early, which they do all the time.
I mean, that's another. That's like Christian Walker making scoops over at first base.
It's inevitable that it's going to happen.
Death taxes in first inning Diamondbacks.
First
runs.
Inning runs for the Diamondbacks. Corbin Carroll doubled on a sharp fly ball to center, and then Lourdes Gurriel, who was big for this team today, drove him in. Lourdes made also a pretty good catch out in left field that I don't know if he needed to quite make it look as
Lourdes
difficult
has
as
a way
it was,
of making
but,
like good plays, like genuinely good plays look maybe like great plays,
incredible
sometimes.
Plays because of his positioning. Yes. But of course they get that first run, and then Blaze Alexander with a solo home run in the second inning. He continues to be great with the bat, but he continues to be a liability out there at shortstop. I will say that, to Blaze's credit, something that we should all remember is that he really is a second baseman, right? Like, that's one of the things.
I don't think he's a – I mean, why is he a second baseman? I mean, that's never real. Blaze Alexander's never been labeled a second baseman.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe there are scouts who believe that that would be a better fit for him. Yeah. But I don't know if that even really makes sense.
Isn't because, his arm his best?
Yeah, his
attribute?
Arm is his best tool. I think maybe third base. I mean, maybe people would make an argument there.
I don't think shortstop is the place for him. Obviously, as to what we've seen so far, because
it's been pretty rough. Yeah.
Yeah, this has been rough, and it furthers piece of Yoshi's agenda as far as his Jace Peterson agenda. But Blaze, again, he did have that home run. And you're right, he was a net zero for this game. I think they said that on the broadcast, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah. As long as you score as many or more runs than you allow defensively, I guess you can count that a win. But yeah, I mean, it continues to be a question for this Diamondbacks team. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. Like, what are the D-backs going to do at shortstop between now and when Geraldo Perdomo returns? They did just sign Colton Wong to a minor league deal right before we went live. So I don't really think he's the solution either. Colton Wong has played all of one inning in the majors in his entire career at shortstop. So I don't really view him as a solution there either. D-backs are just in a tough spot without Geraldo Perdomo. But yes, to Blaze's credit,
get out of here, Elise. I'm not doing the known baseball GM thing. She says Derek is trying to cope and Jesse is not having it. No, Blaze Alexander is .345 with a .976 OPS and two home runs.
Yeah.
So I will have no slander as to his relevance in the Major League Baseball. But I just think that obviously, I mean, and again, we've kind of talked about it. Is it the yips? Is it just him?
I think it has to be. It has to be mental. Yeah, it has to be mental at this point. No question in my mind about that. Really, I mean, these are plays that, like, we saw Blaze Alexander doing defensive drills and whatnot throughout spring training
he was great
I'm not saying he's Andrelton Simmons out there, but he never looked like a liability. I didn't really get that sense watching him even in spring training games,
right?
And granted, he didn't play that much shortstop in spring training games, which I think is a valid point in his favor, that like the Diamondbacks didn't necessarily set him up to be playing a whole lot of shortstop, but it's something he's been doing throughout his professional career. And yeah, I mean, at this point, I think it probably has gotten in his head maybe a little bit. And I mean, yeah, it's understandable. I mean, as we said the other day, Blaze is a rookie, and rookies sometimes look like rookies. And we've seen a lot of those moments. But as you were saying earlier, to Blaze's credit, the fact that he's done as much offensively as he has definitely makes it easier to stomach. Like, without his bat in the lineup, like, you'd be losing something based on what we've seen so far, especially against some of these left-handed pitchers. So, in the bigger question, in the bigger picture, it's going to be D-backs have some decisions to make on that front here over the next month or so.
Definitely. There was a couple of hits. I think Tucker Barnhart had one in regards to the later part of the starting lineup. But it really looks bleak there in like the 7, 8, 9 spot sometimes for this team. And today was kind of an example of that, especially once Blaze was removed from the game. But I think that, you know, again, the Diamondbacks right now need to manage through these injuries as best as they can. And if that means getting Blaze in there, you know, for some offense early on and then substituting him out so that you can have someone you can rely on defensively a little bit better right now, I don't think is the worst thing, you know. But and it worked out today. It's not going to work out every time, but it worked out today. Again, though, there's some injuries that the Diamondbacks are trying to get through right now. And get some guys back. Of course, one thing that, you know, is going to get better. I don't think Gino is going to struggle in the field like we saw him at times in this series.
It's been pretty rough the last couple days.
He has been really good out there for most of this season. But lately, it really feels like maybe the offensive thing is kind of impacting his defense as well.
Potentially. Yeah, I don't know exactly what's going on there. It's not necessarily like super easy plays that he's missed. You know, a couple of these plays where you're charging in, you know, having to bare hand the baseball and whatnot. It's not a super easy thing to do, but it's something that you want a major league third baseman to be able to do more often than not. And something that Eugenio Suarez was very, very good at last season. We talked a lot over the offseason about how good he was defensively for the Mariners a year ago, and people talking about how he should have been a finalist for the Gold Glove Award over at third base in the American League. So I will say with Gino, like, there's not a ton of history of him being like a great defensive third baseman last season was I think more the exception than the rule. So anyone expecting him to come in and be like a gold glove caliber player at third base, I'm not sure that his full body of work over his career necessarily would suggest that that's really his true talent over there.
Well, I don't care about that because the man had the go-ahead double that basically won this game for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And for that exact reason, Eugenio Suarez is our king snake. Give it to him, baby. I don't care if he's 1 for 5. He had the go-ahead double, 2 key RBI, and that man is our king snake. And that's mostly because he finally let me use that amazing Razor Ramon video that I made of Razor wearing a Diamondbacks jersey. But this win does move the Arizona Diamondbacks one step closer to, I guess, all of your ultimate goal, which is me dying my hair purple.
We're down to 10. Oh, there it is. There it is.
Yep, there it is. Well, we'll see. I still don't believe they can do that. But yeah, for those listening, there's a little tracker that just popped up with my stupid face on it and purple hair. And it's probably going
to
happen.
The Diamondbacks just have to go 10-8 or better the rest of the month in order to have an above 500 record at the end of April. And if that happens, Derek, for those who missed it yesterday, did once again commit to dye his hair purple if that happens. So, I mean, this feels like kind of inevitable after the Diamondbacks brought back Lourdes Gurriel Jr. that you were going to have to do the dye your hair purple thing.
At least offer it up. I had to put it on the table. But again, it's up to them. Like, this is different than last year. They didn't struggle out of the gate. I don't think I was willing. They were kind of struggling a little bit, though. Like, there was a period of time where the season was in progress that I made this stupid bet last year. This is different. They still have
their schedule was so daunting.
Yeah.
When you look, even though they started well last year against the Dodgers and the Padres, the whole month of April for the D-backs last year was so difficult. It was hard to look at and believe the D-backs could really come out of it above 500, but they did then. And, for all of our sake, I hope they do again because we all want purple hair Derek back in our lives.
I don't like that you're on that side of things. It's once again so feels on board. Like you're against me, but well, let's get that graphic off the screen. I don't want to look at that anymore. Of course, we thank you guys for being here and hoping that I once again ruin my hair. Of course, if you haven't subscribed to the PHNX Sports YouTube channel yet, do so now. I don't want to encourage you to leave and go watch another show, but the Coyotes kind of have something devastatingly important going on over there. So make sure you don't miss out on any of these emergency podcasts we do by signing up for notifications that we don't miss whenever our shows go live. Of course, right now you can drop us a like. Gabby would love it if you do, even though he wasn't playing today. He's rested up. Drop the likes. It'll help him on his day off. And of course, the Diamondbacks have a day off tomorrow. So we will be back with a 1 p.m. show tomorrow with a special guest. One of our buddies is joining us. I don't know. Do we reveal that right now?
I mean, we can reveal it. Yeah,
Jordan Schusterman from the Cespedes Family Barbecue Boys is coming back. This time, Jesse's actually going to be here he's here for an episode. So Jesse's very excited about that. Make sure you don't miss that. Of course, also make sure you subscribe on the audio side if you haven't done so yet. Drop us a review. We appreciate you guys doing that. We always appreciate the feedback. And of course, those 5-star reviews definitely help us out substantially. Of course, another thing that helps us out is by you going and signing up at BetMGM Sportsbook using our bonus code of PHNX. You can do so right now. And if you do, you sign up, you bet at least $10, deposit $10, bet $10 or more. And whatever you bet, if your bet loses, you'll receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets should your bet lose. If the bet does lose, your bonus bets will be available once your initial wager is settled. Sign up today. Of course, check out the PHNX Bet Show. Make sure to get all the betting advice there. Maybe don't listen to me because my bets, as Jesse has saw firsthand, bad. I'm so bad at this sometimes.
But
so
I feel like you're such a good emotional hedger, Derek. You're not giving yourself enough credit.
No, you're right. I'm either going to get the win from my team or I'm going to get money. That's Jesse, usually
like
the way it works.
You're unaware of his bets throughout the playoffs, but he basically would just fade the Diamondbacks if they were to lose in every single game during the whole postseason.
I think that's what
you must have lost a lot of money, Derek.
No, he actually did pretty well because he'd make like 8-leg parlays. And then like when we played the Rangers, for example, he'd throw in Corey Seager home run, Rangers over runs, Rangers to win, and he would parlay all this stuff. And if the Rangers won, he'd win like $100. Yeah. And then if the D-backs won, we're celebrating in the streets because the D-backs won.
So yeah, the Rangers series was pretty lucrative.
It was.
Maybe
he was
not
winning
as
a lot
much
of bets.
The first.
He was winning
rounds.
A lot of bets.
I'm sure people aren't going to like hearing that, but I will say
the Phillies won too.
I know. But yeah, I lost them too. But yeah, I mean, see again, you're either going to watch your team win the World Series or going to make some money. It's big brain thinking. All right, but sign up for the BetMGM now. Use bonus code PHNX. Place your first sportsbook wager through the sportsbook mobile app for at least $10. You will receive $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. Check out the show notes for full details. And now listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Bonus bets expire in 7 days. One new customer offer only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY 467-369 New York. Call 1-800-327-5050 Massachusetts. 21 plus only. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IOWA. 1-800-981-0023 Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in New York, Nevada, North Carolina, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. Of course, if you want that Puerto Rico experience, make sure to check out Gila River Resorts and Casinos, because nobody does it better. If you want a frosty drink in your hand sitting poolside, it's the place to do it. They also offer an authentic and immersive experience with an unprecedented level of entertainment. They have 800 slot machines, over 800 slot machines, 15 blackjack tables, live table games, and of course, Arizona's largest casino sportsbook. Also some fine dining options as well, but like I said, just sit poolside with a drink. That alone is worth the trip out there. You do you at Gila River Resorts and Casinos. Visit playatgila.com for more details. And again, take care of yourself. You know, staycations, that's my thing. I hate the travel, so just go here in town, have yourself a lovely time. This series between the Diamondbacks and the Rockies was incredibly close, and we know the scores were close, but when we take a look at some of these numbers from this series, you'll see that this was even closer than, you know, the three runs the Diamondbacks won their two games by. Total runs scored here, Diamondbacks outscored the Rockies 13-12 in the series. Rockies outhit the D-backs 27-26. Runners in scoring position, Rockies were 6-27, Diamondbacks 5-23. That's a .222 batting average for the Rockies, .217 for the Diamondbacks, a .371 starting pitching ERA for the Rockies, .394 for the Diamondbacks. And both teams, that's not strikeouts, that's relief pitching ERA, but both teams have a 3.60 relief pitching ERA. And holy cow, Jesse, the margins were very tight on this series.
They were. They were tighter than they probably should have been. They were not particularly tight when the Diamondbacks faced the Rockies at Chase Field to open the season. Not tight at all. And this series was very much a different story, but with a similar outcome, right? Diamondbacks took 3 out of 4 to open the year, and they take 2 out of 3 in this series. I tweeted this out. I mean, you look at the performances from the Rockies starting pitchers in this series. You get Kyle Freeland, Cal Quantrill, and then Austin Gomber today. Diamondbacks didn't do much damage against any of those guys. Kyle Freeland, yeah. I know he gave up 4 runs, but only 2 of them were earned in 5 innings. Cal Quantrill yesterday, a quality start, 6 innings, 3 earned runs. And then Austin Gomber today, 2 runs early. And then, as has often been the case, Diamondbacks let him settle in. He winds up going 6 innings and allowing just those 2 runs. So not a very inspiring offensive performance in any capacity for the Diamondbacks. You view Coors Field as kind of a place where you go in and you get right as an offense and you leave clicking on all cylinders. That was not at all the story of this series, but you won the series, and that's ultimately what matters, closer than it should have been. But D-backs essentially got the job done.
With the Diamondbacks having the teams that are coming up beyond this, I mean, obviously the Rockies were a team that they had to take care of business against, and they did.
Yeah.
It's just, again, it's as encouraging as it is, there's also a bit of concern here for the way that they beat a Rockies team that isn't really playing very good baseball right now. And, you know, again, is it going to be enough for them to basically withstand this storm, if you will, until those players that are either injured or, in Jordan Montgomery's case, warming up and getting prepared for the season still, until they can come and, you know, add some firepower to this team?
Yeah, it's just a matter of kind of staying afloat until then, right? At least on paper, you hope the Diamondbacks don't have any other significant injuries come up in the next month, and that there is a universe in just a few weeks where this roster starts to get healthy and starts to look very different from what the Diamondbacks have right now. But yeah, as people are saying in the chat, like an ugly series win.
A win is a win.
Yeah. We've seen the Diamondbacks win in dominant fashion. I think in some ways, like if you're a fan of this team, you really wanted to see them win a close game. Like could they actually do what was needed late in the game?
Come back late and not just withstand the rest of the game based on their performance in the first couple of innings like we've seen so far, right? And that was kind of the problem at times. You know, there's the infamous Jesse tweet or text message to me that I'm sure he doesn't want me putting out there on social media that said 8 runs weren't enough. And in what baseball game do you say 8 runs aren't enough? But that's absolutely what it felt like with the way that this bullpen was pitching. And honestly, the fact that the Diamondbacks offense hasn't been able to get anything done late really did feel like they weren't going to score any more runs, and they didn't in that case, right? Sometimes when the opposing team gets that run, you need to do some things to stop, you know, the momentum of their comeback, and the Diamondbacks just haven't been able to do that in some of those losses where they had a lead and allowed it to slip away. This, again, you just like the big wins didn't carry over to them going on a roll, just because these are small wins against the team they should be doesn't mean that it won't at least propel them and you know, get their confidence going for this upcoming series against the Cardinals. I don't know. This is just one of those series wins that, like, it leaves you feeling a little unsatisfied. But again, I think every time the Diamondbacks get somebody back, it's going to hopefully add a spark to this team. You know, Jordan Montgomery coming back, if he can come back and absolutely just shove in his first outing, you know, the confidence level in the clubhouse is just going to go through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, and just looking at the standings in the National League, I mean, not that standings are all that important at this point in the season, but
they absolutely are.
I mean,
last year we were tweeting them out every single night, I think, at this point in the season, or at least somewhere around here. Once the Diamondbacks got in the first place, it was a nightly occurrence for us.
They
to do
did have the best record in the National League for a hot minute there. But yeah, I mean, you know, some of the central teams have started out hot. The Cardinals are 6-7 coming into both teams are going to be 6-7 going into that series this weekend at Chase Field. The Reds have gotten off to a decent start. They're 6-5, Cubs 7-4, Brewers 7-3. The Phillies are 6-6 right now. I mean, you just look at the landscape of the National League, and I mean, being 6-7 is not a great start, but I mean, the question that I was kind of asking is, people were really, really worried about how the D-backs were starting, is like, I mean, which non-division winning National League teams were going to like bury the Diamondbacks in the wild card race? I have a lot of questions about a lot of the teams that are in that wild card race in the National League.
Absolutely.
The Phillies are a team I certainly like, but beyond them, there's not really any team that I think will be a wild card team that I think is way better than the Diamondbacks.
The Marlins imploded. So, I mean, they're a team that doesn't, based on what's going on with their manager and the contract situation, I don't know if things are going to get better for that team, but we'll see. Of course, everybody knows I lie, and Jesse Jr., of course, is a habitual liar, but the numbers don't lie. So let's take a look at Jesse's number for today's game or for this series. What do you got, Friedman?
I got the number 72.3, Derek, which, of course, is the exit velocity on Eugenio Suarez's game-winning go-ahead two-run double. 72.3, that was the third lowest exit velo of any batted ball by the Diamondbacks in this game. But to be fair, Eugenio Suarez had some pretty rough luck batted ball wise over the last couple days.
Out of some balls, and they were all going right to a defender or getting caught.
He also had the second hardest hit ball of this game by a Diamondbacks hitter at 104.6. That one had an expected batting average of 750. That came in the third inning of this game, and an exit velo of 104.6, as I said. So he, and there was also yesterday's game, there were a couple of batted balls, including the final out of the game, that maybe got a little bit unlucky. So
same with Monday's game with Gino.
Yeah.
Bases loaded. He hits it into right center and it gets caught. It just stays up too long. But it looked like he got pretty solid contact on it. We might have won the game.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks have actually been pretty unlucky, and we've talked about that in so many ways. They had
the higher expected batting average than the Rockies in all three games of this series, including on Monday. On Monday, the Rockies had an XBA of like 200 or something. D-backs wasn't all that high either, but Yeah, the batted ball luck was not really in their favor in the series as a whole, but it was in their favor at a very pivotal moment late with Eugenio Suarez coming through with that hit.
And it's not just your nerd stats, Jesse. It's not your imaginary expected batting average crap. It's also the fact that this team has been very unlucky with injuries and in every way. I mean, Damon's constantly saying it. It felt like today, especially with the way that the Rockies kept getting balls to fall in just right fair, right on the chalk.
Yeah, how many extra base hits have we seen for opposing teams in these last two series?
It's crazy.
It felt like in that Braves series, it felt like any time was anything close to the first baseline or the third baseline that it just barely landed fair. I mean, and this is just baseball, right? Like things just kind of have a way of you hate it for a few days because nothing's going in your favor. And then suddenly you've got 11 hits in the fourth inning with like two hard hit balls. And you're like, yeah, this rocks. I love this game. That's the nature of the sport, right? And the Diamondbacks very much have seen both sides of that here in the last few days.
I'll tell you this, though. I mean, the team is having to figure out a way to win games, just like Tommy Henry today had to figure out a way after his first inning went the way it did to get things back on track. And I know that this is one of those situations where it might not mean a whole lot because it's early in the season, but they're facing this adversity early on. And
yeah,
hypothetically, things are going to get better for them once April 19th comes around. And then going forward, it's almost like they're going to get Alec Thomas back. They're going to get, E-Rod back. They're going to get Jerry P back, right? And, like, I feel like, once again, like what I was saying about Jordan Montgomery, they're going to get these little injections of life, this little spark by getting these guys back, and they're going to get better each time these guys are back. Defensively, they're going to get better. And the starting lineup's going to get better. Obviously, starting rotation expects to get much better. And then you still don't know the impact that Tommy Henry and Ryan Nelson are going to have on this team, what their roles are going to be going forward, if they're going to get sent down to the minors to stay stretched out for depth, or if one of those guys can become a key part of the bullpen and kind of change the dynamic of that struggling bullpen that we've seen so far. They're going to need some help, because I feel like Torrey's going to continue to lean on the arms that he can trust, and there's going to be a point where he's not going to be able maybe to trust McGuff or, Castro in high leverage situations. And that could be what the Diamondbacks see right now. A lot of these close games like they had in these two wins against the Rockies. So Jarvis showed out today, though, and the Diamondbacks absolutely needed him too. And he did that. So, of course, Peace of Yoshi says, Derek, I did not go on Baseball Savant to check out all this for you to diss Jesse's nerd stats. No, I'm going to diss him hard. I'm going to go in on him. By the way, my favorite person that went in on Jesse's nerd stats, which was unexpected, was Danielle. She really
yesterday,
just...
Yesterday? Yeah, she kind of took Jesse's head off.
It was incredible. I've never seen somebody come as hard as she did at Jesse over his nerd
because
stats.
I think some people have a false view of my baseball analysis, which is that I don't even watch these games.
I don't even feel the need to watch these games.
Because Baseball Savant and Baseball Reference tell me everything that I need to know. And I want to declare to the universe that that is not true. Entirely. It's mostly true.
I spent a lot of time around you. I don't know. We'll see. But of course,
There is something to be said for watching. There are things you learn by watching a baseball game that exit velos and FIP and all this stuff absolutely will not tell you. So I want to make that clear.
Sometimes he watches baseball games is what he's saying.
But every once in a while, I will watch the game instead of just staring at my computer the whole time.
A great way to watch
a couple days a week.
Great way to watch the game, Jesse. Ice cold golden lager in your hand, right? Right? Damon, Four Peaks? The beer?
I love
the baseball beer?
The official unofficial beer of baseball, or is it the other way around?
It's the unofficial official beer of baseball.
The unofficial official beer of
baseball. It's still an incredible beer. It's the perfect beer to drink when you're out at the yard. Good. Of course.
Have you had the Bad Birdie?
The Bad Birdie is really a number one contender.
Brother.
It's a number one contender for the championship.
Brother, you've tried it?
Wow Wheat should be running scared right now. Wow Wheat is like Roman Reigns running away from Cody Rhodes, and Bad Birdie, Juicy Gold Nail might finish the story.
I went to our friends over at Circle K, and I went to their beer cave, and they had a nice 15-pack of cans. They weren't even bottles. Mm-hmm. They were cans. Mm-hmm. And I had it, and I was like, this is a damn good beer.
It's an incredible beer.
It's pretty good.
Incredible beer, super drinkable, and the perfect companion at the tee box, in your fridge, or in the batter's box. I don't know, maybe not at a batter's box. I don't know, maybe in a beer league. I don't know, but be sure to follow Four Peaks on social. Of course, you can visit fourpeaks.com/locator to find all your favorite beers and events. Check out at Four Peaks Brew or Four Peaks Pub to keep up with the latest at Arizona's hometown brewery. Must be 21 or older to drink Four Peaks, and please drink responsibly. Of course, another great adventure you can take, have some fun here in the Valley, is with Arizona Lottery and their ticket promotion called Arizona Adventure. There are three ways to play and win big, some big money out there to win. Of course, you can play Arizona Adventure Lottery tickets featuring some iconic Arizona landscapes. You can also check in at geolocated adventures at 10 destinations across the state. Maybe Jesse will take you in his sick RAV4 because that's what that car is for. It's for sick adventures from Flagstaff to Yuma, all across the state. He even goes like to other states and stuff with it. It's wild. But if you don't have a car just for adventures,
Derek?
Yeah, no, I mean, you make it sound like that. You take adventures by yourself. You go on these geolocated, you don't even check in. You just go to these places and just view how beautiful they were. He was in my part of town at a lake and he didn't even call me. I don't know what's wrong with this guy. But
yeah, because how many times have you been to Lake Pleasant, even though you live like, what, 15 minutes away?
I could probably count on my hand how many times I've been.
That's unacceptable, Derek. I mean, granted, I did grow up here and that was the first time I'd ever been to Lake Pleasant.
You're
and
judging
it's not
me.
All that
you're
far judging away. Me. But it was spectacular.
That's what Arizona Lottery says this is all about. It's not just about playing games, winning prizes. It's about giving back to the state and its communities and getting you to go view some of these beautiful parts of the state. Arizona Lottery says proceeds from ticket sales support environmental conservation, among other important initiatives across the state. Visit azadventure.com for more information on how you can take an adventure for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. Also, check out, of course, our diehard membership if you haven't already. It's a great membership to have. It kind of pays for itself right away. Get yourself a free item from the phnxlocker.com of your choosing. Get access to all of our digital content, including all the writing from our writers. We get, that's usually who does it, right? The writing, the writers do the writing. You get access to all our premium written content.
Them's the rules.
You get entrance to the Discord lounge where we do all sorts of fun stuff just for our diehards only. Get that diehard membership card, discounts on all of our events, including our upcoming takeover at Chase Field against the San Diego Padres. Of course, it's Gabriel Moreno bobblehead night, so it's a great night to join us out at the ballpark. You can get your tickets for that now over at gophnx.com. You can also get your diehard.
We're kind of running out of tickets for that.
We're running out of tickets for everything, Jesse. I don't know if you know this.
Sold out. That one, I think, is down to single digits as far as tickets available.
The Cardinals draft party is sold out. I mean, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah.
And I don't think you even know what that reference is from.
No.
See, I knew it. Nope. That's something I can always count on. 100%. I can count on this man not knowing my references. You did bring up earlier Colton Wong.
Breaking news.
Arizona Diamondbacks absolutely have continued to try to solve the problems that they have with depth right now, at least in the short term, by adding Colton Wong on a minor league deal?
Yeah. Colton Wong on a minor league deal. The Diamondbacks, I believe, reassigned Tim Tawa, who had been playing some shortstop in Reno. He goes down to AA Amarillo, and Colton Wong is now going to slide in and play some infield in Reno. As I said earlier, Colton Wong has played one inning at shortstop in his major league career, so I don't really think the Diamondbacks are thinking of using him in that capacity, although I don't know for sure. Maybe they're reaching a level of desperation where they're, he's still young, right? He can learn how to play shortstop.
Kick the tires on whoever we can.
Colton Wong was one of the best second basemen in all of baseball. Not in 2023, but a few years ago, back when he was with the Cardinals. In 2023, he had a fascinating season where he opened the year with the Seattle Mariners and hit 165. And then he signed with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And we all know what happens to seemingly washed players the moment that they don Dodger blue is they
go to Cooperstown.
They eventually hit 300, 353, 500.
Jason Hayward had like a 850 OPS or something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Everybody was like, get this guy out of baseball. And then he goes to the Dodgers and he's just a stud.
Just the best player in the NLS.
Yeah, I mean, it was for Colton Wong with the Dodgers, it was all of 34 plate appearances. So do with that what you will. I believe he was with the Baltimore Orioles in spring training, but he wasn't going to make their roster. So he wound up departing his ties, leaving the Orioles back in toward the end of March, and the Diamondbacks have brought him in. So, yeah, I mean, he adds depth. The D-backs don't have a ton of middle infield depth in general right now with Kevin Newman coming up to the majors. So I suspect it's more of a depth play than anything else. But yeah, we'll see.
I don't know if you guys know what's going on with the Coyotes crew out there, but just kind of looking out and seeing them do their show right now, it makes me feel ill.
Yeah,
because this situation is spiraling out of control very quickly for our local hockey team, which might not be our local hockey team much longer. This is just a reminder, once again, just like the A's situation, of how quickly this can happen. And again, not to get all doomsday-y here, but you know, the Diamondbacks need to figure out their stadium situation, and sooner rather than later, so that this does not turn into a situation like this. Maricopa County needs to do whatever they can to just get this figured out with the Diamondbacks. That's what it's down to right now.
Yeah.
There's too much leverage here on the Diamondback side. And honestly, with what this is, what is happening, it just increases the leverage that a sports team has as a reminder of how quickly they can leave and not be your sports team anymore. And I hope that things go the opposite direction, especially for a Coyotes team that I have come to love in the time that they've been here. But again, they've been here just around the same amount of time that the Diamondbacks have existed. And it's just something to keep in mind when it comes to, you know, supporting this team and coming out and seeing these games. I mean, we talked yesterday about the issues with them selling opposing teams peanuts that got me all heated. These are all around the same idea here, which is, I mean, one way to rectify this situation and not to put the blame or to turn it around on the fans. But one way to rectify the situation is, if you love this team, come out and support this team. Don't turn into a fire Tory guy just because they lose a couple of baseball games. Don't, you know what I mean?
I think that goes
that feels targeted.
That goes regardless.
I'm talking about three of you in particular with that one, but still, it doesn't matter. You get the point that I'm trying to make here. Like, just be a good fan. Like, there's 162 games. I understand that there might be times where it's not easy to support this team, but again, it's one of those things that the continued support of fans is going to be the thing that solidifies this team staying here more than the fans have a lot of leverage here, and the fans supporting this team really can help this situation out.
Yeah. I mean, the Diamondback situation is very, very, very different from the Coyotes situation. So I don't really want to draw any kind of a false comparison there. Hopefully things work out for the Coyotes. It doesn't seem like that move to Salt Lake City is official by any means at this point. So hopefully there's a way for us to still have hockey in the desert, because even as someone who frankly has not watched more than a few minutes of hockey in my entire life, pretty much, most of it has happened in this office. I mean, Phoenix is a market that absolutely should have all of the major sports. There's just no question with how much growth has been in this town, you know, over the last couple of decades. So hopefully things work out there. But it does. We thought it was at least worth revisiting the reality that the Diamondbacks owner went on the record a couple of months ago and mentioned the idea of relocating the team, right? And not in a way that was at all super worrisome, I wouldn't say. There's been some reporting.
But truthful. I mean, honest. And yeah, Sometimes when you're honest, it does come off to be a little threatening, because the fact of the matter is, if the stadium situation doesn't work itself out, the Diamondbacks aren't opposed to suitors that might try to bring this team somewhere else that's willing to give them the ballpark that they're looking for. Right.
Right. And there's been some reporting in the last few days. I know the Arizona Republic just had a fairly lengthy story about some of the negotiations happening and the Diamondbacks trying to get the stadium deal nailed down. It still looks like by far the most likely outcome is that eventually those sides will be able to come to an agreement and the Diamondbacks will stay put at Chase Field for the long haul. It's very much what we expect. But yes, the Diamondbacks owner, Ken Kendrick, said what he said a couple of months ago. And yeah, it's just a reminder to, you know, value what's in front of you and you know, enjoy it. And as you said, support this baseball team.
Support it.
Yeah.
And the lights show alone that I love so much just shows me how much, you know, making changes to that building can make that building cool, right? And it can make it a fun, enjoyable place. Not to mention the Korean pork belly nachos, once again, that they all they got to do is huge. That's huge. Ernesto says we need to start buying all the peanuts. He's not wrong. That's a big key. Elizabeth says, come out and support the team unless you're cursed. If you know, you know. Hello, darkness, my old friend. But anyway, let's take a look at the probables for the upcoming series with the St. Louis Cardinals because, you know, the Diamondbacks, they get things in their direction a little bit here with Brandon Pfaadt, who has been pretty outstanding in his last start for this team, and Zach Gallen both on the mound in this series against the Cardinals.
Yeah, these probables look quite a bit better than the probables graphic we were looking at a week ago when the D-backs 3-5 starters were facing the top three in the Braves rotation.
That wasn't even their fault. They didn't even blow it in that series.
Yeah, that's true. Brandon Pfaadt against Steven Matz, Ryan Nelson, Kyle Gibson, Zach Gallen, Miles Michaelis on Sunday. The Cardinals did just get Sonny Gray on the mound for the first time. I believe he made his season debut with the Cardinals just yesterday. The Diamondbacks will not have to face Sonny Gray in this series, which certainly bodes well for them. On paper, you don't hate these matchups from the Diamondbacks' perspective.
Well, of course, we will be back, like we said, tomorrow with our 1 p.m. show. We're going to have Jordan Schusterman joining us from Cespedes Family Barbecue. And, of course, then we will be back Friday with a postgame show for that St. Louis Cardinals series. So keep it locked right here. Make sure to subscribe once again to the channel and sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss all this stuff. And do what Gabby said, drop a like. Otherwise, he'll throw you out at second. And you know he can do it. You know he can do it.
It doesn't matter where you are.
Where you are. No matter where in the country or even where in the world you are, Aaron Hughes, he'll get you out in Germany. But of course, we thank you guys for joining
Aaron Hughes
us.
Isn't even in the chat.
I know. I'm just randomly bringing him up. He'll love that. He'll love that whenever he listens to this. Well, I don't know what day it is for him over there, but of course.
It's probably like Saturday, right?
Yeah,
like
that's how it works, I think.
That's how time zones work.
I'm really bad at time zones, but anyway. What I'm not bad at, Jesse, as you know, is securing a very good interest rate for my home mortgage. And of course, you can do that too with our friends at Desert Financial Credit Union. For more than 84 years, Desert Financial has been Arizona's largest, most trusted local credit union, dedicated to creating exceptional experiences by giving back to the community and by providing financial solutions that make your lives better. Desert Financial team are financial experts and someone who you can trust, of course, with your financial interests. You can look to them for checking and savings accounts, mortgages, loans, credit cards, investment options, so much more. When you open a free checking account online, you can get $200 in bonuses. Get started by visiting desertfinancial.com/200.
I heard there's some word that maybe we had a Desert Financial transaction of the day today.
We did. Colton Wong, minor league deal.
Wow. That's a big honor to be bestowed upon Colton Wong's head. That's pretty massive.
This is probably the most excited anybody's going to get about Colton Wong joining the team, aside from maybe Colton Wong.
Yeah, I mean, family members, you know, there might be some other
maybe
contenders,
a friend that lives here in Arizona that
might get forgetting
to
about there.
Or somebody in Reno. I don't know. When are we gonna see Cole? Like, I still don't understand the depth that he adds here to the team, really. Like, is this just because at times the Diamondbacks literally have Ketel Marte out and they have Newman and, you know, Jace Peterson and Blaze Alexander all still in the lineup together as that trio? They're trying to find maybe another option there when they're kind of swapping guys out in the infield?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, it just kind of seems like a depth addition to me, as I said earlier.
Short-term? Shortstop
doesn't really seem like a fit there. He's a left-handed hitter, so a bit of a different look from some of the other guys, right? Kevin Newman hits right-handed. Blaze Alexander hits right-handed. So I guess he's sort of like the backup for the Jace Peterson role. You could maybe view it that way with Peterson being a left-handed hitter. But I don't think it's imminent that Colton Wong will be with the Diamondbacks, you know, in the majors in a week or anything. But if he signed with the Diamondbacks, he was presumably led to believe that he had a shot of contributing in the majors at some point in the relatively near future.
Like so, Elvis Andrews himself, right? Like he had a shot, I'm sure, at believing he was going to be here for your major league
depth. And I guess that Elvis Andrews is still out there as well. I mean, I don't know if the Diamondbacks are having any conversations in that regard, but yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
I'm just guessing that they saw Jace Peterson swing the bat the last couple of days and they were like, yeah, we need to sign Colton Wong.
Yeah.
That's kind of just like literally it was after that strikeout on that pitch in the dirt yesterday. And Mike Hazen got on the phone with Colton Wong's agent like within 5 minutes of that happening. He's we need him.
I feel like it could be a situation where they do feel like, I mean, there are options. They're not better options, but they're also how much worse can they be potentially, right? I will say, though, that as much of a diss as that was, right? Like it's like Blaze in the field, right? We thought Blaze was great for Blaze. It was going to give him some playing time, all of this. And he quickly became a person that contributed to some of these losses the Diamondbacks have experienced and someone that you feel like you cannot rely on out there defensively. Now, that's not been his calling card in his time with this organization, nor does it feel like it really is who he is as a player, but it's what he's going through right now. And it sucks. And thus it makes, you know, even some of the other options look better because even though they're not adding as much offensively, it's still not a situation where they're going to potentially give up a big, you know, a big error that's going to cause this team to lose more games.
Yeah. The other thing I'll say about Colton Wong real quick is that he actually was a pretty good hitter prior to last season in 2022 with the Brewers. He had a 769 OPS, hit 15 homers. 2021, he had a 782 OPS, hit 14 homers. So he's 33 years old. He's certainly not in the prime of his career, but it's not like you have to go back to 2018 to find the last good season from Colton Wong. Sure. So D-backs are, you know, maybe hoping for something of a bounce back there.
Well, I can tell you something that helps you bounce back, especially from any kind of ups or downs you have in your life, is OG's brands. They do have their Happy Balance brand, which is a balance of CBD and THC. They also have their Sleep Edition gummy, which absolutely can help you get your sleep schedule back on track and give you a great night's rest. Of course, all of these options are available along with their two brand new products, their OG's Natural and their Big OG's, which... I'm a big fan of myself. To learn more about OG's gummies and where you can find them, head on over to OG'sBrands.com. Must be 21 or over to enjoy, and please enjoy responsibly. That's all we got for today, but of course, we thank you guys so much for stopping by. We will be back again, like we said, tomorrow at 1 p.m., so do not miss out on that. And then our final show of the week will be our post-game show on Friday. But not that's not all. We still have our audio-only podcast that we'll be dropping on Saturday. Yeah. So make sure to stop by or join us for all this goodness. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. Of course, the People's producer, Damon. He is at Damon Dog. That's D-A-W-G. We are Damon's Dogs. Bark. Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks, but all roads do lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys so much for your time. We appreciate you guys stopping by. We'll see you tomorrow at 1 p.m. In the meantime, have a great night. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when the Blaze moments go your way.